జయమశపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ శరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాది జయం త్రిలాప్ర విష్ణు విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాది ఆనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీనివాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధా కొండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి అదర్విడి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి అంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువైన గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలేశ్వరి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనమహం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీగురోసి మయా నాథ కృతం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి ఆదయోత్సవ జాయతే తథా పురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చాపేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ తేజోవారిపదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తగుహగం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర పరమో మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వామరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్య నేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాద మృదంద్రవ సంయుతం విపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానంద రూపాయం విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతమను వే నమ వేద కృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహ కారణమాజుహావా పుత్రేతి తన్మయత్తరవోక్తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితీర్షదాం తమోన్నం సంసారీణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుమువయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయకశౌరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకునిదాదృదానినేందోః మమ పాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిన్నావి నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదరే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్కృచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నంద ప్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశా యాసామహ్యదోద్గీతం పునాదీ ఘోరత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద ప్రమాణవే నమః నీలాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంగం కౌమోదగీసరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందర మందహాసం பாதாரேஷமனிஷம் ஹிருதி பாவயாமி. கோமலம் பூஜயன் மேலம் ஷியாமலோயம் குமாரகாம் வேதவேதவரம் பிரம்மம் வாசதாம் புரதோ மம. மூகம் கரோதி வாஜாலம் பங்கம் லங்கயதி கிரிம் தற்கிருபாகமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய நமஹ. ஸ்ரீமதி ராதிகாயை நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த. Last time, 2 weeks, we had analyzed or discussed Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, a few chapters, 19th, 20th, 21st and 22nd, 4 chapters. It is very interesting actually, because these chapters, what Krishna is doing is preparing us for Bhagavad-gita. That you will notice in the remaining verses, how all this understanding was necessary to understand Bhagavad-gita. Bhagavad-gita, Krishna is saying that Krishna is saying here, if you see few things. First thing is that Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam is for serious devotees who are serious about spiritual life. Therefore, unless there is seriousness, this canto is of not much use. Unless there is seriousness in a person, number one. Number two, I have also mentioned there that after hearing all these things, after hearing that, there is a responsibility on the part of the person who heard it, that he has to make it his own. That is, it is in his jurisdiction. It is, nobody else can help on that. It has to be done by the person who heard. You can, like 2 weeks we heard now, some of you heard full time, some of you heard part time, some of you had here and there, but whatever it is, the message is this: business is serious. If business is very, very serious, it is. And you can hear it and leave it through the other ear. Nothing is going to happen. But if it is taken seriously, then you have to understand every logic what Krishna has put forward here. Otherwise, you won't change. You will continue with your own way of doing things, thinking that one day I'll go to spiritual world and you'll be waiting here. You won't get there. To get there, Krishna is saying to us that these understanding must come in us, and therefore that change what is needed is what is expected from us. Krishna has told us that this is how things are, isn't it? He's explaining chapter by chapter in these 4 chapters. So, as a preparation for that, first thing what Krishna did was he spoke about the spiritual truth. You can see that in the 19th chapter, in the beginning. First 10, 12 verses is all about the truth. Doesn't want any kind of concession on that. There is absolute, the knowledge of the self. It is spoken very explicitly in the first 10 verses of the 19th chapter. That's how he began. Then it was after that Uddhava came up with various thoughts, and Krishna was again saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, that is all fine, whatever you are asking me, but I have systematically created 3 yoga systems, Jnanam, Yogam and Bhakti. Either you come through that or you stay out. That was Krishna's answer for that. So therefore, he spoke about these 3 yoga systems, Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. And he also told us who should go in which path, But again, that is a intuition that has come from Antaryami at some time later. In the beginning, all the three. That is how it works. In the beginning, all the three. But without, you can't go into any other, your own way, you can't make your spiritual life. There is a system Krishna has formulated. And that is, that system is what is discussed in that three yoga systems. Jnana Margam, Karma Margam and Bhakti Margam. Krishna also said there a few things more. He told us that when Uddhava raised up this issue of Vidhi and Nishedam, Gunam and Dosham, Krishna said it's relative merits. Relative merits. Not on an absolute level. What the relative merits of those Gunadosham and Vidhi Nishedam, or do's and don'ts, or good and bad, all those things Krishna has discussed. Again, Krishna is always saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, Atma is more important. All your other things have no significance. And if you don't come to that point, your every effort in spiritual life is a waste of time. Krishna makes it very clear to Uddhava there. So, we saw in there, in that process, so many things Krishna has spoken. All of them are important. Important in the sense that when you go through that, you get the understanding that the getting caught up in various things in this world is very easy. You can get caught up in Maya in so many ways, either in the form of society, family, or various things. Maya will capture somewhere and keep you in that state. And then you will think that is the most important thing. What Krishna is saying to us, none of them are important except realizing the self. That is Krishna's point. All the time. That's the only thing Krishna has to say to this world. That escape from here, come back to your identity, who you are. Without knowing this, all other things patch up work all the time. So, 22nd chapter, again, Uddhava said so many numbers. Krishna said what numbers? Numbers have no meaning, he said. Vastu is one. Vastu is only one. And numbers have come from the mind and Maya. Again, Krishna has discarded that also. Like Vidhi Nishedam, like do's and don'ts and Gunadosham, Krishna has discarded numbers also. He doesn't want to talk. And he said that they are all correct. He said none of them are wrong, but they are saying this from a platform of their own mind. They have come up with all these numbers. Like that, he has rejected that also. And finally, we saw there that Krishna, when Krishna mentions this, that Prakriti Purusha problem came up. At that time, Uddhava raised the issue of Prakriti and Purusha. Krishna says Prakriti Purusha also doesn't exist. There is only Atma, nothing else. And he gave a detailed explanation of that there, isn't it? How the influence of Prakriti is in us. And that Prakriti, how under the modes of material nature, how it breaks up into three and all that things we spoke about last two, three classes, isn't it? How the Prakriti breaks up, Ahankaram comes, and from Ahankaram, Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam, accordingly along with that, all other senses, mind, everything breaks up into three. He explained all that and finally he said, Matta Paravartadriyam Salokad. He said, if your attention is not on me, you have to remember when Krishna is saying this, in me. In Bhakti Margam, you can take it as Supreme Personality of Krishna is speaking. In Jnana Margam, you can take it as Atma. That's all the difference is. Either way, it doesn't matter. Vastu is the same. So, he mentioned that and Uddhava asked a question, Tata Paravartadhiya. Isn't it? When Krishna said, Matta Paravartadhiya, Uddhava is saying, Tata Paravartadhiya, what's their fate? So, again, Krishna wanted to tell the world through Uddhava that all your so-called plans to enjoy life in this world or to make your life peaceful or happy in this world will not work. That is why Krishna is continuously saying to us that manam karmamayam nirnam indriye panchabiryudham loga logam prayatini atma talanu vartade. He says anything that has come from the mind and the senses and in the name indriye panchabiryudham, all of them will only, what it is, loga logam prayatini, it will only carry you from one world to another. That is Krishna's answer to that. Manam karmamayam, manas, mind, and then karma. These two things combined together, karma vasana inside, senses there, all of them together, what all ultimately it will do to you, it will carry you from one world to another world. And then Krishna started discussing about this, if you remember, how the death happens, isn't it? Which we spoke about in depth. That death is all happening inside the mind, not in the body. That mind is the whole repository or the place where all things are happening. And if things are not cleared up there, then whatever you may do, your understanding is wrong. That is what Krishna is saying. That if you are thinking body is dying and you are thinking that you have to fix the body. But problem is inside the mind certain things are happening. And that is why how Krishna explains that is this transmigration of the soul, which is said again, Jandover Kasijidor. What is death? What is birth? Again, Krishna explained there, isn't it? From that you can understand that birth and death is also a function of the mind. A function of the mind. And then he told about that examples that Sapnam, Manoratham, Mental Chariot, Tatrapuram Yuvalpanam Apurvam Chanu Pashyati. So, that Atma is always there, but at the same time, this mind and mental chariot is also working at the simultaneously the same thing. So, and then after that, Krishna talked about a few other things about how these changes that is happening is nothing but death in the body. And he gave these few examples also, isn't it? Flow of the river, the flame burning in the fire. And also the third example about the trees growing up and bearing fruits, all that. Three, four examples he gave. And he told us that that the Atma, that, that ignorant person, because of his karma vasana inside, he feels that he is dying and is taking birth. Actually, Atma has no birth nor death. This has to match with Parikshit's realization at the end. Otherwise, it has no meaning, isn't it? This, what Krishna is speaking, this should match with what Parikshit has realized at the end, which you can see it's the same thing. That Atma is birthless. Atma is deathless. He doesn't take birth, he doesn't die. But where is all this happening? Krishna says that ignorant person, due to his karma vasana inside, all these examples are examples he gave, as to prove to us that the samyogam viyogam, joining and separating this, all these upadis, makes him think that he is taking birth and he is dying. Due to the upadis, samyogam viyogam, upadi separations. Then he mentioned about nine states of the body, isn't it? Nishegam, garbham, janmani, balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vayomadhyam, chara, murtyu, iti avastha, tanor, nava. Nine states he spoke, although normally he spoke on six. Krishna has spoken nine things here. And then he said that why you are getting different bodies in different situations. And drishyam and drashtava, he mentions there. Everything is happening in the drishyam, not in the drashtava, not in the alpa. It's all happening in the drishyam. What is being seen? Body is a drishyam. World is drishyam. But drashtava, nothing is happening. Drashtava is independent. And then he also mentioned that, after that he said that he says here, now, from now on, so some more things Krishna is going to say before Vitralida. What is Krishna saying is, this important factor, that a person who doesn't take it seriously, all these things, he is the one who has no discrimination, who has no discrimination. For him, material existence is the only option. One who doesn't take it. Material existence is the only option. So in five verses, Krishna is going to talk about this material existence, what it is like. And that material existence also is in three modes. First he says, five verses, that there is material existence and that will be very, those who don't take to it, this understanding what Krishna has given. For them, material existence is the only option. And that material existence is also in three modes it works. And there also he's saying that how, again that question of Uddhava, that Atma is independent. And why is Atma getting pulled into this all the time? Every time he changes the body, he has to go with that. That also Krishna is explaining. And Upadhi Dharmam, Upahita Dharmam. That means, Upahita Dharmam, for example, there is water, a lake there. There is a tree standing on the lake shore. A tree standing there. So, the tree is, image of the tree you can see in the water. Isn't it? Tree's image is in the water. When the water moves, that appears as the tree is moving. Krishna is saying, water is the upadhi and tree is the upahidam. Tree is the upahidam, water is the upadhi. So, when there is some changes happening in the upadhi, it appears as though it is happening in the upahidam. That means, what is happening in the water, it appears as though it's happening in the tree. Similarly, although Atma is standing independent of everything, still, in upadhi changes are happening and it appears as though it's happening in the Atma. This is what it is. Krishna is saying, that we'll see, come to that verse later. And then Krishna is saying to us, all sense gratification is also mithya. It is all false. It's not getting you anywhere except that it increases your material existence, in other words. And that he gives two examples there. And therefore he says, your effort for enjoying senses through any way in this world is also a waste of time. Vyartham. Krishna says, Boga Udhyamam. Udhyamam means effort for enjoying senses. When he says enjoying senses means, you have to understand in its broader perspective. Enjoying senses is not only enjoying these five senses. In a subtle level, we enjoy various things in this world. That's all sense gratification. Trying to enjoy various ways in different, feeling happiness in different circumstances. All of this is Krishna saying, actually criticizing and condemning it. And then after that, he says that dukkham will come in life. Distress will come in life. And you should not try to get out of distress. That's the last injunction before Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna says this to Uddhava, Krishna is very serious. He says to him that even without endeavoring for getting out of the distress in life, you should be fixed in the Atma, fixed in Krishna, fixed in the soul, he says. And then Krishna says to Uddhava, that there are so many experiences in life one can come up with, one will end up with. And sometimes you can be walked over by so many people, they will pass urine on you, spit at you, and kick you, and offend you, insult you, everything. In all that situations, you have to remain in the platform of the soul. He is saying to Uddhava. Uddhava says to him at that time, that how will I do that, he said. Isn't it? How will I do that? That was Uddhava's question. At that time, that because Swabhavam is very powerful, isn't it? We can see our own Swabhavam, how it works. Our own Swabhavam, how it works, isn't it? Swabhavam is very powerful. It will pull us in that, in one particular way. So this Swabhavam, fighting Swabhavam is a very difficult thing. Krishna calls Swabhava Vijayam Shauryam. If you are really courageous, you are able to change your Swabhavam, that is courage. Not fighting with somebody else. Your own Swabhavam. That Swabhavam doesn't seem to leave people very easily. We have collected some Swabhavam from so many lifetimes. And that has become our Swabhavam. Isn't it? Our nature. That has become our nature. Selfishness. Ignorance. And all kinds of diplomacy, politics. All sorts of things. It is in us. And that won't go. Externally we will smile and try to be nice to others. But inside that Swabhavam in us doesn't change. Krishna says that Swabhavam has to change. If the Swabhavam doesn't change, there is not much scope further. You may study Bhagavatam, you may understand everything, but Swabhavam is like that. What is the use, he says. So therefore, Swabhavam is very powerful, Krishna is saying. Prakritarhi baliyasi. Powerful is, so powerful that is. So if you want to come out of that, change that Swabhavam, therefore, Prakriti will induce these things upon you, put you through all those different situations. And if you tolerate them, your Swabhavam will change. That's the way it will change. And then, an example of that is that Bhikshu's life. Krishna brings that in. So, you can see that we discussed this yesterday. So, few things there. First thing, these chapters are, not only these chapters, all of Ekadasha Skandam is for serious people. For ordinary people, those who are listening and leaving it, Ekadasha won't help. Ekadasha is only helpful if you take it very seriously, which means a lot of mananam on all these chapters. Not only Uddhava Gita, right from the beginning of the Navayogi Nimi Samvadam. Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. There's only two things in the Ekadasha Skandam. Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, Krishna Uddhava Samvadam. Two conversations, isn't it? Two discussions. Between Nimi and Navayogi, one group, that is the gem in the beginning. Expansion of that is Krishna Uddhava Samvadam. The same thing what is spoken in the Nimi Navayogi Samvadam is more expanded in the Shri Krishna Uddhava Samvadam. So, if you take it that way, you will be benefited. You will be benefited from this, these chapters. Otherwise, another katha I have heard, you can say. Katha is no good. In this Ekadasha Skandam, it's not katha. It is tattvamethis. And therefore, requires a lot of mananam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam also. Then you will see the benefit from that. And there are people, many people I know, who have gone like that. They took Ekadasham so seriously. And they find great happiness in sitting together with others and discussing Ekadasham. It's their happiness in life. Because they have reached that understanding that the beauty of Ekadasha Skandam, because something nobody else has done, what Krishna has done in the Bhagavatam. That he called Uddhava at the last minute before he left. And told Uddhava, I have got something to say to you, he said. Isn't it? That's how Ekadasham came out. And therefore, you can understand the gravity of the situation. Krishna is leaving. And he had the greatest jnani, greatest yogi, and the greatest personality ever appeared on this planet, is addressing Uddhava and saying to him, I'm going back, he said. There's no need for me to stay here anymore. And Uddhava told him that, your this beautiful form, Uddhava is attracted by the form. Uddhava says to Krishna, this beautiful form, should you not maintain it here some more time for others' benefit? Krishna said, no, I have decided to go. I'm going, he said. But for the benefit of others and for you, I'll talk to you about the truth. And Krishna is going back to his abode. And that's when he spoke Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? So knowing all that background, and knowing all the discussions between Krishna and Uddhava, Krishna is, as I mentioned before, that he brought out two marvelous presentations, Dattatraya Gita and Hamsa Gita. And now, through Dattatraya Gita, Vairagyam. Through Hamsa Gita, knowledge. There is a goal behind everything, whatever Krishna has spoken. The Dattatraya Gita was to tell the world Vairagyam is necessary for spiritual life. Otherwise, there is no spiritual life. Then, Hamsa Gita was spoken to tell the world that knowledge of the self is necessary for spiritual life. Therefore, Hamsa Gita. And now, Bhikshu Gita is going to tell us that in the process of living in this world, you will experience a lot of hardships in many, many ways. Distress will come, world will turn against you, and society will turn against you, but in spite of all that, you have to remain on the platform of the soul, like the way Bhikshu did. That is that Bhikshu Gita going to tell us, and Aila Gita, and also in that Bhikshu Gita only, Krishna is saying there, that this Bhikshu, who was mad after money, thinking that that is the perfection of life, and behaved in that way, finally, how material nature taught the lesson to him that money is not life. That understanding came to him through that. To teach that lesson, Bhikshu had to go through that. Similarly, a great personality, Pururavasa. Pururavasa is Krishna's dynasty's beginner. Lunar dynasty begins from Pururavasa, isn't it? My great ancestor, Krishna says, Pururavas, because of his excess attachment to women, how he suffered due to his attachment to the most beautiful personality, Urvashi. And finally, Urvashi made him crazy to run around in this world and left him. And then, it is a song that was sung by Pururavas. Pururavas also called Aila Gita, it is called. So, four Gitas, four different goals, and here we are coming to this virtuous life. So, prior to that, you have to put these chapters together, 19, 20, 21 and 22. They are all a preparation for the 23rd Virtue Gita. Because you can see here that Krishna is rejecting everything, various things Uddhava is asking, and Krishna is saying to him, none of them are important, he said. And generally, these are the things, isn't it? Money, women, and all these are the important things happens in people's life, and they think they are the most important things. And therefore, Krishna is warning there that if you want to come to spiritual life, those things has to go from, priority has to go from there. So, we have seen yesterday that the next five verses, what happens in a person who has no discrimination, who has no Prakṛtir-eva-mātmānam, 51st verse. Prakṛtir-eva-mātmānam, avivichya-abhuda-pumān, tattvena-sparśa-sammūda-samsāram-patibadhyade. He says, abhuda-pumān-prakṛti-eva-mātmānam, tattvena-avivichya-sparśa-sammūda-samsāram-patibadhyade. So, first of all, ignorant person, he is not even able to separate himself, body, from the self. He cannot do that even. He's saying, Krishna is saying that. Then, because he does not know how to separate the body and the mind, he is always in the material existence, bodily existence. Because he does not know how to separate the body from the self, body from the self. Tattvena sparsha sammudha, Krishna says, because he is like that, every sense enjoyment or sensual happiness, he thinks it's real, first thing. He thinks, oh, I'm really enjoying. He thinks like that. And that Brahman comes to him. He falls into that illusion and he comes into material existence. His material existence is, he's in the material existence. And then, so, Prakṛtir-eva ātmānam avivichyābhuta pumān tattvena sparśa sammūḍham samsāram pratipadyate. And that is what is called samsāram. Samsāram basically means this. That you have no knowledge between the self and the body. Body and the self, you are always seeing yourself as a body. And all the enjoyment that you are getting from the body, you are taking it as happiness. Both mistakes. First thing, thinking yourself the body. Secondly, all the happiness that you are getting from the body, considering there as happiness. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not meant for enjoyment. That is the reality. But it happens in this way, Krishna saying, tatvena sparsa sammudha. Sparsha samuda, samsaram pratipadyade. Call it as material existence. And then, three kinds of material existence Krishna is talking about based on the three modes of nature. Sattva sangal krishin devan, rajasa asura manushan, tamasa buddha diriyaktum, brahmido yadi karmabhi. So, sattva gunam, what it does is, it is makes you rishis, sages, and demigods. They come from the sattva gunam. And rajogunam creates demons and the human species. We are closer to the demons rather than the demigods. That is a fact, isn't it? We are closer to them. You can see all our nature. If you look at it, that's more demoniac than the divinity in us, isn't it? That's a fact, isn't it? We are more demoniac than the demigod species. So, rajasa, because of rajogunam, asuram manusham. Asuric nature, demonic nature, and the human being. Both comes from that. Tamasa bhuta tiryaktvam brahmido yadi karmabhi. And due to the presence of tamogunam, excessive tamogunam in us, we develop into different kinds of ghosts and all kinds of, the ghosts and other lower forms of nature falls into that. And also to the species of plants and animals and all that, tiryaks, all of them comes due to tamogunam. That is what has caused that. That you get this body of a plant or a tree or any of those animals. This is all due to tamogunam inside. So these three modes of nature, rajasa, sattva, rajasa, tamasa, will put us into one of these three categories. One of these three categories. So then Krishna is saying that nrityato gayata pashyan yathaiva anukarodhitan evam buddhigunan pashyan anihopi anugaryade. Krishna says here that the question comes, we are always saying Atma is akarta. Atma doesn't do anything. And why then Atma has to go along with the karma? Does not mean that Atma is bound by karma. That question will come, isn't it? We always say Atma is independent. Atma is always independent. No karma can touch Atma. No karma can touch Atma. And Atma is always eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, which we have discussed before, isn't it? In many classes we spent how it is knowledge, how it is blissful, how it is eternal. We have seen that. So, keeping all that in the background, if Atma is like that, why this happens? That why is this Atma is getting carried away from one body to another body along with the mind? Krishna is saying here, mrityato gayata pashyan yathaiva anikaryoti tan evam buddhi gunan pashyan anihopi anugaryade. That is the answer for that. Krishna's point is that mrityato gayata pashyan yatha anikaryoti. For example, if you look in the some musical concert, you go, what happens there? What happens in the musical concert? Musical concert, say on the stage, somebody is singing with instruments and everything. And somebody is singing, dancing, moving the body this way, that way and everything. And people in the audience also does the same thing. Yes or no? Yes, you can see that. In the Satyuga concert, it won't be very high. Concert will be going on and people will be relishing it still. Somebody will be shaking their head, somebody will be moving this way, that way. Somebody will be doing like this, all that, different things. Different concerts have different nature. But in the concerts in the Rajogunam, you can see that, like Glastonbury and all that. If you look, in the, they show it on the television, how it happens, isn't it? It's total madness it is, isn't it? We didn't say that, but it is like that, isn't it? What is going on there? Somebody is doing a lot of things on the stage, and all the crowd imitates that, isn't it? They also jump and dance and all sorts of things. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Nrityato gayata pashyan yatha anikaryoti. When, how do they imitate that? Without knowledge they start doing that, isn't it? As soon as the music, the effect of the music and that dance on the stage of the performer affects the who watches the performance. It has a direct impact on the person who are watching. Evam anihobi buddhi gunan pashyain gunai anugaryate. Similarly, Atma is independent. Atma is independent. But the three modes of nature can have its effect on the person. So, therefore, Atma is tend to go along with that modes of nature. That does not mean that Atma is in the modes of nature. That Krishna has clarified before. That when the modes of nature works, Atma tends to go with that. When the modes of nature is working in the subtle body, in the mind and intelligence, and ahankaram, chittam, everywhere, the modes of nature is working, Atma will get pulled into it. Atma tends to go along with it. That is what the point Krishna is making. So therefore, you can never say that you are free from modes of nature till this release happens finally from the modes of material nature. So, evam buddhi gunan pashyan anihopi anugaryade. Buddhi gunan. Dhuna means Krishna mentioned before. Sattvam rajas tama idi gunam buddher na chalpmana. Although it is not in the Atma, when it influences the buddhi, intelligence, is carried away by the three modes of material nature, Alma tends to follow with that. Like the way it happened with the in the musical concert. What happens on the stage? It has an effect on the people. Why? It has affected their buddhi, isn't it? Modes of nature has affected their buddhi. And therefore, immediately they started dancing and jumping and thumping and all kinds of things what they do. So, that is when Krishna is saying, Upadhi dharmam can come to Upahita dharmam. That means, this example, there is a lake, a tree standing on the lake shore. Tree's reflection is in the lake, is it not? So, if the water moves, it appears as though tree is moving. This situation with the Atma is like that. Water is moving and then you think the tree is moving, although tree is not moving. Similarly, all these Upadhi, Satvarajastamo Gunam, they are all in our Upadhi, in the body, in the mind, in intelligence, everywhere these Gunams are there, three Gunams are there. And it is shaking the Upadhi, isn't it? It is shaking the Upadhi. And therefore, it is shaking the Upadhis, because it is shaking the Upadhi, the effect of that shake is experienced in the self, although it's not happening there. Exactly, the comparison is fantastic. That water is moving and appears as though the tree is moving when you look at the water. Similarly, when we look at our Upadhi in the body, mind and all that, we feel all the misery, all the problems. But like the tree standing there on the lake shore, non-moving and completely unaffected, Atma is standing inside, in the body, without unaffected by everything whatsoever. So this example is the best example you can think of. You can't see anything better than that. Krishna is saying, Upadhi dharmam can happen in the Upahitam, Upahita dharmam. And he gives that example. Yadhambasa prachalata taravobichala iva chakshusha brahmyamanena drishyave bhramadivabhu. Drishyave bhramadivabhu. So, it appears as though, with these eyes, when you look at a person, it appears as though that everything is moving. Everything is moving. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that that water is the Upadhi and the trees are the Upahitam. So, the example is Grahaka Dharma. That means that Brahmyamanena Chakshusha Bhu Brahmadeva Drishyate. Brahmadeva Drishyate. Krishna is saying, suppose your eyes are a little bit affected by any movement, then if you look with the eye, it appears as though the earth is rotating. The earth is rotating. Similarly, everything, Krishna says, all the different dharma, saundaryadi dharma, he says there, that, for example, beauty, and similarly, strength, all these kinds is manakalpitam, it is. It's coming from the mind. And that is due to these modes of nature. Beauty, strength, renunciation, various kinds, what we think as the dharmam of the world, or the effects in the world as different qualities, that is all manakalpitam, Krishna is saying. They are all based on the mind. In your mind you are experiencing all that, and therefore it is all just imagination, in other words. Samsaram is imagination. Drishyade bhramadiva bhu. Bhramam, it is only a bhramam, it is Krishna says. Then, two examples he gives here, that sense enjoyment also is false. Krishna says, sense enjoyment is also false. Just like, yatha manoratha diyo vishayanubhavo mrusha swapna drishtascha dasharha tadha samsaramal manam. Dasharha, addressing Uddhava, dasharha, manoratha diyaha swapna drishtascha diyaha yatha tadha almanaha vishayanubhavaha vishayanubhava rupaha samsaraha api mrusha bhavati. So, in your mind, you had sense enjoyment, something. In your mind, you developed some sense gratification. Or in your dream, you had some sense gratification. Sometimes we get some sense gratification in the dream, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here. Similarly, as far as Atma is concerned, this material existence is false. Like in the dream, when you get some sense gratification, when you finish that and come out, you know that it is not real. You feel it, isn't it? That sense gratification you had in the dream. Or in your mental chariot, mental world, Manorajyam, you had some sense gratification in some way. And that also, when you come to your senses, mind becomes Shandi, in Shandi, then you realize that it was some I was just imagining some fancy ideas in my head. Is it not? Sometimes we get some fancy things in our head and we start thinking, oh, it's nice to have that. Or some fancy idea you get in your head and then you start enjoying that for some time. But when afterwards, when you become a little bit more normal, you start realizing that it was just a fancy thing in the head. Equally, Krishna is saying here, in the dream also, that's exactly what happens. That something you enjoyed in the dream, but when you woke up, you realized that it was all false. Krishna is saying here, similarly, this material existence, what we are making out here in this way, and trying to get happiness out of this world, as far as Atma is concerned, it has no connection between the two. It has no connection between the two. Because as far as Atma is concerned, this very material existence is false. Material existence itself is false, mithya. That's the word they use. Yatha manoratha diyo mrishayanubhavo mrisha. Mrisha means mithya. Mrisha means lie. It is mrisha. Mrisha means it's a lie. And swapna drishtascha dasharha tatha samsaram almana. Tatha samsaram almana. For Atma, samsaram is like that. But then the question will come, if this samsara material existence is false, why should we try to get out of it if it is false? That question will come, isn't it? Then Krishna says, Artehi avidyamanebi. That's the famous verse. Artehi avidyamanebi. Samsradir na nivartade. Dhyayado vishayanasya sotne anarthagamo yada. That is Krishna's answer to that. He says, Vishayan dhyayada asya sotne anarthagamo yatha tatha arthe avidyamanebi samsrati na nivartade. Just like Krishna saying that you have thought about some sense enjoyment very seriously. Some sense enjoyment, you have thought about it again and again and again. And what happened was that sense enjoyment started appearing in your dream. What you have thought about. Suppose you meditate on some kind of sense gratification for a long period of time, it will come in your subtle body as a vasana and it will come up in the dream. It will come up in the dream. But when you are enjoying that in the dream, you feel as though it's real in the dream. And sometimes this, when Krishna says sense enjoyment, it means that it is not only enjoyment. Something you had experienced through your senses. That can be a misery also. Some fear inside developed very strongly, for example. Some fear or some hate towards someone. Or some kind of attachment towards someone. Or some kind of enjoyment in this world. Let it be anything, it doesn't matter. Depending on the intensity of that in your thoughts, it will come in the dream. It will appear in the dream. Isn't it? Suppose you had some difficult time with someone and that person is getting inside all the time and it is developing strongly inside, he will appear in the dream. He won't let you sleep peacefully. He will come in the dream. Is it not? Like bosses in the office who give you hell all the time. They will come in the dream. And similarly, in Vyavaharam is creating all these things. Vyavaharam does all these things. So, Krishna's point is, Artehi avidyamanevi, but they have come in the dream and they give you problems in the dream. They give you problems in the dream. And you have not come out of it till you wake up from the dream. Is it not? You don't get out of it till you wake up from the dream. This verse is very famous in the Bhagavatam. It's about half a dozen times. It keeps coming back. Astehi avidyamanebi samsratir na nivartate. Dhyayato, all due to dhyanam. It has happened. Dhyayato vishayanasya sotne anarthagamo yatha. Sotne anarthagamo yatha. So Krishna says here that till you wake up from the dream, you are not out of it, isn't it? You are in trouble. Till you wake up from the dream. Similarly, Krishna is saying, till you realize the self, till you realize who you are, till you realize your identity or the knowledge doesn't wake up inside, Jiva also has no choice. He has to suffer in this world. That's the answer. Dhyayato vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. So, therefore, necessary to endeavor for self-realization and knowledge. That's the answer. Krishna's answer. Because of that, Sridhara Swami is saying this. Sridharajani Swami's commentary is this. But exactly this is how he puts it. He said, your misery will never go till you wake up from the dream. Similarly, he's saying here that till knowledge is risen inside, till knowledge is woken up inside about yourself and the identity, this miseries of the material world will not leave you. Therefore, absolutely essential, he says. Sridhara Swami says, absolutely essential to endeavor for self-realization, for the knowledge of the self. And therefore, he says, the endeavoring for sense enjoyment is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Tasmal, therefore, Uddhava, ma bhunkshva vishayan asadindriyaihi alma grahana nirbhadam pashyam vaigalpiyam brahmam. This is how Krishna puts it. Hey Uddhava, tasmad asadindriyai vishayan ma bhunkshva. Therefore, Uddhava, he says, this demoniac senses, he calls them as demoniac senses, senses which are demoniac, you should not enjoy any senses with attachment with those demoniac senses. Asadindriyaihi, Krishna says, vishayan asadindriyaihi ma bhunkshva. Should not enjoy anything with these demoniac senses because it will trap you. That's what Krishna is saying there. Tasmad Uddhava ma bhunkshva vishayan asadindriyaihi. And then he says here that vaigalpiyam brahmam alma grahana nirbhadam pashyaha. Because that this Veda brahmam, this illusion that was created by the mind, because mind has created this illusion in us, isn't it? There is happiness in this world. There is things to enjoy here. And in various ways it comes to us, isn't it? Mind is dictating to us that there is happiness in this world. And that is a very subtle thing. That's a mental thing it is. The reality Krishna has spoken in the beginning, there is no happiness. And we get happiness in various ways. From praise from others. Others glorify you, you feel happiness from here. And Krishna is saying, you want big name and fame in this world? That is manakalpidam, that is. Manakalpidam, to looking for name and fame in this world. In various ways, that is why people work so hard, acquire a lot of wealth through that. Or through other ways also, they want some recognition in the world. I've contributed something to this world. They want to feel like that, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, that is due to ajnanam, avidya inside. He says that brahmam, vaigalpikam brahmam, atma grahana nirbhadam pashya. That if they have no knowledge of the soul, Krishna is saying. Therefore, ajnanam is inside them. And that ajnanam is dictating all these things. This you can see even sometimes in the spiritual field also. People want recognition that they are something important. And they work very hard to get it. Recognition in the spiritual life. What does that indicate? It's indicated still on the mental platform. It is working like that. So, tasma luddhavama bhunkshva vishayan asadindriyaihi alma grahana nirbhadam pashyam vaigalpikam brahmam. What is that brahmam? What it creates inside in us, in the mind. And because alma grahana nirbhadam. Alma grahana nirbhadam. In other words, they have come to spiritual life But they can't understand Atma. They haven't got it about the Atma's nature. They haven't got it. Or therefore, what happens is that they get fallen into that mind again, into the mental sphere. Mental sphere. They fall back into the mental sphere. Otherwise, anyone who has come to spiritualize seriously with proper knowledge, he won't go after name and fame. He won't go after name and fame because that is no meaning here in spiritual. That is the point Krishna is making. Atma grahana nirbhadam. He didn't get Atma. He is still in the platform of the mind. Vaishya vaigalpikam brahmam. And then in that brahmam, he is thinking that I have to have a name and fame in this world, which is again gratifying the senses in another way. Isn't it? That is, I say, tasmat. But he says, udhava ma bhunkshva. Don't get trapped in this. Vishayan asadindriyehi. Asadindriyam. Asadindriyam means that you can see this, how it doesn't leave people. All these things. That even coming to spiritual life also, because this knowledge hasn't come enough inside, proper understanding of spiritual life, they think, I have to do a lot in this world, and the world should know what I am doing. It is so important for them, isn't it? You get hundreds of photographs you have to take and publish everywhere, that what you are doing in your spiritual life. What has it got to do with spiritual life, all these things? What connection has it got? Soul self-realization is a completely different thing than all these things. But this brahmam hasn't gone from inside. Manakalpidam. It is from the mind. It is still dictating. Do this, like that. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, Atma Grahana Nirbhadam. That Atma Grahanam. Atma Grahana means, Atma Grahana Nirbhadam means, the connection with the Atma is not happening. Connection with the self is not happening. Inside Antaryami is there. Antaryami is saying, I am here. And instead of connecting with the Antaryami, you are going and connecting with the world again. Into the external world again. That is what one danger. Then Krishna says, even leave behind all these things. There will be a lot of problems in this world to attack you, give you trouble. Forget about all these things. Effort for sense gratification, for enjoying the senses, or recognition in the world, or acquiring. Here we are talking about mostly about spiritual people, not talking about material. Materialists, Krishna has written them off in the beginning. Doesn't want to even discuss about them. He has told them that they are, what are they? Materialists, this is, they have only one choice, to come through different bodies all the time. Change the body. Isn't it? Krishna said that before. He said, anyone who doesn't take to these processes, one of these processes, and take this knowledge seriously, they have only one choice. What is that? To keep on changing the body continuously, one body to another body, one planet to another planet. Krishna said, one species to another species, like that. But here, now, Krishna is saying, people have come to spiritual life and they are still stuck in these different locations, different places. So, when you read all this, you will become a little serious. That's the hope from this. That's why Krishna is hoping that not to get pulled by all the show in this world, not to get carried away by the misled information, misleading by others, but to be guided by Shastram. That is why Krishna is saying all this to Uddhava, that to stick to the path, what purpose you have come to spiritual life, and to keep the goal in the friend all the time in life, and not to be disturbed or distracted by the various events, what's going on, by various forces that's operating in the world. So he says here, when you have come like this, there will be a lot of distress also in the spiritual life. A lot of distress will come. And that distress will come in different ways. Adhyalpiyam, Adhibaudhyam, they are all there for the devotees also, for the jnanis also. They also have to go through all these things. They are not exempted from that. Till you escape from this, you got to go through all these things. So when distress comes, don't try to remove it, he said. For the sake of that distress, thinking that, if I deal with the distress somehow, I will find some solution from the problems. He says, even that you shouldn't try. Instead, you should be fixed in the truth, in the self. You should be fixed in the truth and be very firm on that. And that is how Krishna is introducing, bringing us into that bhikshu's life. Bhikshu's life. That is what he did, Krishna says. Shipto అవమానితో అసద్భి, ప్రలబ్ధో అసూయితో అథవా తాటిత సన్నిబద్ధో వా వృత్యా వా పరిహావిగాః. వెరీ హెవీ థింగ్స్ కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ దేర్. అసద్భి అవమాని క్షిప్తో క్షిప్తో అవమానితో అసద్భి అసద్భి ప్రలబ్ధో అసూయితో అథవా తాడిద సన్నిబద్ధో వా మృత్యా వా పరిహావిద. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ దట్ నిష్ఠితో మూత్రితో వా అజ్ఞేయర్ బహుధైవం ప్రకంపిత శ్రేయస్కామ కృచ్ఛ్రగత ఆత్మన ఆత్మానముద్ధరేత్. దట్ ఈస్ ద ఫైనల్ వర్డ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణ. ఆత్మనాః ఆత్మానముద్ధరేత్. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ హ్యాడ్ టు సే ఫైనలీ ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్. ఆత్మ ఆత్మానముద్ధరేత్. భగవద్గీత ఆల్సో కృష్ణ సెడ్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్. ఉద్ధరేద్ ఆత్మన్ ఆత్మానం. రిమెంబర్ దాట్ వర్డ్స్. ఇఫ్ యూ లుక్ యూ విల్ సీ ఇన్ ది భగవద్గీత ఇన్ ద సిక్స్త్ చాప్టర్ ఐ థింక్ ఇట్ ఇస్. వాట్స్ ద నంబర్? సిక్స్. ఉద్ధరేదాత్మనాత్మానం ఆత్మానం న అవసాదయ ఆత్మన్యైవ ఆత్మనో బంధు ఆత్మైవ వ్రీవాత్మన. దట్ వర్డ్ ఇస్ ఇట్ సిక్స్. సిక్స్ ఫైవ్ ఇస్ ఇట్ యా. ఉద్ధరేదాత్మన ఆత్మానం నాత్మానం న ఆత్మానం అవసాదయే ఆత్మైవ ఆత్మనో బంధు ఆత్మైవ రిపు ఆత్మన. ఎ మ్యాన్ మస్ట్ ఎలివేట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. వెన్ హి సేస్ ఎ మ్యాన్, మోహన్ ఆల్సో హె నాట్ ఎక్స్క్లూడెడ్ ఎవ్రీబడి. దెన్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సెడ్ లైక్ దిస్ బికాస్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ టాకింగ్ టు అర్జున. దట్స్ ఆల్. మ్యాన్ మస్ట్ ఎలివేట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ బై హిస్ ఓన్ మైండ్, నాట్ డిగ్రేడ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. The mind is a friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. When you read that, you have to understand it in this way, like in the Agadasham, Krishna is saying a lot more about it, isn't it? There in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna understood, first of all, to understand the mind, what mind is. And in Bhagavad Gita, will be a lot more clearer about this, about the mind. We'll understand the mind better in the Bhagavad Gita. And knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is after the mind. After you have gone beyond the mind, that's where the spiritual knowledge is. Mind is not going to be much help in our spiritual life. All you can do is to transcend the mind. Vikshepam avaranam, that's all the nature of the mind. Here Krishna is saying here, Atmanam, Atmana, Atmanam Uddharet. Atmana, Atmanam Uddharet. That's the answer to all the problems. ఆత్మన ఆత్మానం ఉద్ధరేత్. అర్జున ఆల్సో ఉద్ధరేదాత్మన ఆత్మానం ఆత్మానం అవసాదయేత్ నాత్మానం అవసాదయేత్ ఆత్మన్యైవ ఆత్మనో బంధు ఆత్మైవ రిపుర ఆత్మన. దట్స్ ఇట్. దట్స్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ ద సేమ్ థింగ్ హియర్ ఆల్సో. కృష్ణ అగైన్ సేయింగ్ టు ఉద్ధవ ద సేమ్ థింగ్. సో హి సేస్ హియర్ దట్ క్షిప్తో అవమానితో అసద్భి, క్షిప్తో అవమానితో అసద్భి, ప్రలబ్ధో అసూయితో అథవా తాడిద సన్నిబద్ధో వా వృత్యా వా పరిహావిదాః, నిష్ఠితో మూత్రితో వా అజ్ఞేయర్ బహుదైవం ప్రకంపితాః శ్రేయస్కామ కృచ్ఛ్రగత ఆత్మనం ఆత్మానముద్ధరే. హి సేస్ హియర్ దట్ వికెట్ పీపుల్ దే విల్ కమ్ అండ్ దే విల్ ఇన్సల్ట్ యూ. They will talk to you in a rude and harsh way. They will insult you and they will make fun of you. And they will also be envy of you. And sometimes they will show their enviousness, what is inside. They will display their envy. You can see sometimes how when sometimes people get so envious, they will do certain things which you normally people won't do. Envy comes out. They couldn't resist that inside and it comes out. And he says, Krishna is saying here that even that happens due to envy and they will become violent. Sometimes people become violent due to envy, isn't it? And they will try to destroy your livelihood. People do all these things. All the time it happens, isn't it? They'll destroy your livelihood. And if they're very disgusted, in their envy, they couldn't handle it themselves. They become so uncontrolled, they'll spit at you. Or sometimes even they'll pass urine on you. Krishna is saying there. Then even then, in spite of all these things, these are all that you can, these kind of things will happen in this world and it will come to anyone in this world. And what it does is, it takes you away from, when that happens, the reaction of that, all that is, that you get distracted from the self, from the self-realization, isn't it? You will not be able to hold on to the consciousness. You will fall into the bodily platform. That's what will happen. When somebody becomes very rude to you, what happens? You lose your discrimination and you become more strong on the bodily identity. Isn't it? I will teach you a lesson, you will say. He will make you, that is what everybody does. They will throw at you various abuse and talk to you rude and things like that. And he will drag you down to the bodily level. Even if you don't want to come to the bodily level, you will come to the bodily level. By others' words, can drag you down to the bodily level. Then if you are, say you are at home, if you are following spiritual life to some extent and somebody doesn't like it, what will they say to you? They'll say to you, all rubbish, all this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad, you're wasting your whole life and time like this. And in this way, they will constantly criticize you. And finally, that if it is not having any impact on you, what they will say to you is, something gone wrong in life, they'll turn around and say to you, what's the use, wasted so many lifetimes studying this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. What did you gain from this? You can't even control your mind and senses. In other words, they become the judge about your spiritual life. That's what they do. It'll always happen in many, many houses this happens. That they are not interested, but they don't like you going in the spiritual path. They don't like it. So what they do is they will turn around and waiting for an opportunity. As soon as they get an opportunity, they'll evaluate you. They will say, what say you? So many years you have been hearing Bhagavatam. So many years you have been studying Bhagavad Gita. And there's no difference between you and me. This is what they want to say to you. In other words, they are comparing all the time between themselves and you and want to make sure that you are safe, that you are not different than them. That's what they want to make it out. So, in that process, Krishna is saying here, all that it does is, it wants to drag you down to the bodily level. So that they want you to react to their words. And if you react, they are happy. If you react, they are happy. Because then they feel that you are not different than them. That's what it is, isn't it? So, Krishna says here, even if that happens, and even if you have been moved away from that understanding of the soul and realization of the self, even then, and not even that, Krishna says, even if you got into some serious danger in life, due to that, many dangers in this life, isn't it? You don't know how your prarabdham will come back to you in life. From unexpected quarters, some enemy will develop within, in the family or in your society somewhere. Somewhere you will find somebody has become your enemy. And then you don't know what to do with him, actually. And that enemical relationship develops strongly and it can develop into all sorts of problems. That is what Krishna is saying here. They will come and you will wonder why it is all happening. That Krishna is saying here that you should know that it is your prarabdham. That is the answer to that. That nishtido mutrido va ajnyer bahudevam prakambidaha shrayaskrama krichragadha altmana altmana mudhare. Bhagavatam is very strong on the prarabdham. That when prarabdham, knowing that it is my prarabdham, I shouldn't get upset about it. Not to get upset about it, rather depend on Krishna more. Depend on Krishna more and on the self-realization. And that is how Krishna finishes this 22nd chapter. And it was at that time, our representative Uddhava, he is not comfortable. He says it's a tall order. We also will say the same thing, isn't it? We won't even say that. We will hear this, we'll get out of the door. If somebody looks at us in a funny way, we'll react straight away. You see, we'll get upset about that. Anyway, we'll come to that later. Krishna is saying, Uddhava gets a little bit concerned about it. So, few things what we have discussed today. Krishna, yesterday also we saw this, that the mind, intelligence, senses, all these things, and different species, different wombs or species, Krishna says that it's all happened due to guna sangam, isn't it? Due to the modes of nature. Krishna said due to the modes of nature. And he gave the example that the in the dream state also, you are becoming many others, isn't it? You identify with other people as well. Similarly, in Jagrat also, Krishna said that you are imagining sometimes something different, what you are, as though you are somebody different. In Jagrat state also, suppose you are dressed, you are a policeman, your nature will be different then, isn't it? The policeman's nature. You will identify as a policeman. But when you remove that hat and the dress and all that, you come to your normal clothes, that policeman's identity doesn't leave you easily. You'll see this, isn't it? Common it is. Suppose you're a doctor, he will always be, the nature will be the doctor's nature. You will look at people in a different way, doctor's way. Like this, you will see, we all dress up in different identities in this world. It's unavoidable. That becomes your nature that way. So, you are not no different than anybody else. The same five material elements are there. The same Atma is inside. But why his attitude is different? Is different. You go to, say you go to an advocate or a lawyer. Have you seen how they talk? They talk in a different way, isn't it? Everything through legal language. You say something to them, they'll answer you in a legal way. And they will tell you all the legal complications of all the problems of this life. Only they know the legal side of it. And that is on the top priority in their mind. Therefore, when they speak, it comes out like that. Is it not? A person who is very much in the computer field, always busy with the computer, he has to connect everything through the computer. Remember I mentioned this before, when somebody went to Marina Beach in Chennai, and then there is so many offices on the Marina Beach side, and computer companies have hired so many buildings, so many floors, all are working on the computer. And someone went inside and said, where is the sea? And he's looking, showing in the computer where the sea is. The sea is on the other side. This happens to us all. It happens. As soon as we say, we Google, isn't it? First, Google is our best friend for all that. So, we feel that is due to our computerization. This has happened in us. We see that we won't lose our common sense or anything. It is there in the computer. Computer has become us now. We identify with the computer and we have become that. We identified with the doctor, we become doctor. We identified with the lawyer, we become the lawyer or solicitor. Or you become anything else in this world, in the same policeman you feel. So, this is what Krishna is saying here, that this imagination, that you will accept certain things, and some things you will give up. You won't accept it. Some things you will, if you look at the 48th verse, 49th I think in your book, that's what Krishna is saying there, in the 22nd verse, chapter. He says there, if you look into that 49, Almanam Pidraputrabhyam Anumeyo Bhavapyo Na Bhavapya Vastunam Abhinya Advaya Lakshanaha. ഈ സെയിങ് പിതൃപുത്രാഭ്യം ആത്മനഹ ഭവാപ്യയോ അനുമേയോ ഭവതഹ. ഇ സേസ് ഫാദർ ഈസ് ഡൈയിങ്, ഫാദേഴ്സ് ബോഡി ഈസ് ഡൈയിങ് ആൻഡ് സൺ ഈസ് ടേക്കിംഗ് ബർത്ത്. ബോത്ത് തിങ്സ് ആർ ഹാപ്പനിങ്. ഫ്രം ദർ യു ക്യാൻ അസ്യൂം ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ഫാദർ ഈസ് ഡെഡ് മൈ ബോഡി വിൽ ഓൾസോ ഡൈ വൺ ഡേ, isn't it? And my son is taking birth, that means I could be born again. These two things Krishna is saying to Karna. Then he says bhavapeya vastunam abhijnyah advaya lakshanah atma bhavapeya dharmah na bhavati. That but atma inside is conscious that this taking birth and dying is seen by Atma inside. Atma is a drashtava there, drikha is. But destruction is happening to the body, for one body, and birth is happening to another body, isn't it? Destruction is happening to one body and birth is happening to another body. And so even though destruction is happening to one body and birth is happening to another body, Atma inside is fully conscious. That means the drik is fully conscious that it is not in me. But in your mind, you are conscious that death will happen. In your mind, you are conscious that birth will happen. See that difference there, what's happening? When some incident, father dies, for example, father dies or son takes birth at home. Father dies and son takes birth at home. When father dies, naturally a thought will come into your mind, I will also die one day, like this, isn't it? That's what you'll see when father dies. You'll realize it, that I'm going to die also one day. And similarly, when son takes birth, or a child takes birth at home, so it's we got a son or daughter, whatever it is, a birth happens at home, maybe you start thinking that somebody is taking birth, similarly I could also take birth again. This thought will also come. But where does that thought come? In the mind. In the mind. But behind that, the drik has nothing to do with this death, has nothing to do with the birth. He, in him, that effect is not there. Who? In the Atma. That effect is not there. Krishna says, take notice of that, because drishtava, or in other words, that drishya dharmam does not affect the drishtava. Drishtava means drikha. Drishya dharmam, that is. Drishya dharmam means that it's happening in the body. Body is drishyam. Both the bodies are drishyam. That means the that's where it is happening. So this death and birth is the dharmam of the drishyam. Is it not? It is the dharmam of the drishyam, what is seen. That's where this dharmam, that is not affecting the drikha. It's not affecting the drikha. It's affecting only the mind. So that is why he says here that you will see in Japan that birth and death, bhavam apyayam, and similarly another nine things he mentioned before. Nishegam, garbham, janmam, and balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardakyam, death, nine state things he mentioned before, vayomadhyam, jaramrtu, all of those things is only in relationship with the body. In relationship with the body. And if you take that as yours, if you take that as yours, you are in bondage. You are in bondage. And if you remain as a witness for that, you are in a liberated state. Do you understand? You see, Krishna is talking about bondage and liberation here in this chapter. He is saying, what is bondage, what is liberation? If you have taken this birth and death as happening in you, then you are in bondage. If you understood that it is happening only in the body, it has nothing to do with the drikha, and you are that drik, not the drishyam, in that case, that you are liberated. You are already liberated. And in reality, Krishna is saying, there is not even witness there. Witness there. Because as soon as you knew, as soon as you realized your identity of the self, then at that point,
You can't even accept the witness position. Witness position. Because the moment you accept witness state, duality has come. Dvaitam has come there. So therefore, because you can see this through example, in deep sleep state, there is no witness is there. That's what it means. In deep sleep state, there is no witness. So when we talk about witness also, you have to be aware of that. Always, every experience, you have to connect it with the deep sleep. That's the way. In the deep sleep state, what happens is that is a real state, but covered by tamogunam. That's another thing. But that state in the deep sleep is what we are, actually. That's actually what we are. So therefore, Krishna mentioned about this, that by seeing this father's death and son's birth, you can see that again I can take birth and I can die, this body will come and go all the time, that you can realize that. But similarly, when a tree is giving fruits, you can see like this also, that you are separate from the tree when the tree is flowering and giving fruits. So the birth of the tree, or the growth of the tree, or the flowering of the tree, or the fruits that comes out of the tree, all those things is not affecting you. It's not affecting you, isn't it? You are still a witness of everything what's happening in the tree. Similarly, body also, Krishna says here, that body, mind and all these things, when they are taking birth and when they are dying, in me, birth and death is not happening. This is all for mananam nididhyasanam. For mananam and nididhyasanam, Krishna is saying all these things, that these things are not happening in me. These things are not happening in me. And that has to be established through mananam, through reflection. So, that means, the experience of the prakriti. You see, body, mind, intelligence, they are all coming from the prakriti, isn't it? And the experience of the body, mind, intelligence is all prakriti's experience. Nature's experience. Material nature's experience, that is. If you accept this, that body, mind, intelligence, all these things are coming from prakriti. If they are coming from prakriti, their experience is prakriti's experience. Because they come from the prakriti. Is it not? So, when our body, mind, intelligence and all is going through different experiences in the world, Krishna is saying here that you are misunderstanding that it is your experience. And that is the cause of material existence. That's Krishna's point. That when you start misunderstanding experience of the prakriti as your experience, which it is not. It's not your experience. It's experience of the prakriti. The problem what we have got is, we have not even separated body, mind, intelligence from us. We are thinking we are prakriti. That is our problem. That is why in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has very categorically told us that this prakriti includes these 8 things. Which one? 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and ego. This gross body is 5 material elements, and the 3 mind, intelligence, ego is the 3 subtle things. All these 8 combined together, Krishna, what did he say? Is prakriti. Apara prakriti. Apara prakriti, generally prakriti is, apara prakriti is called prakriti. Apara prakriti, that is. Now, we identified with prakriti, and therefore, when something happened to any of these 8 things, these 5 material elements, or to mind, intelligence and ego, you have to take it that it is happening in the prakriti, not in me, which we don't do. That is what Krishna is saying. He says, if you start taking them as it's your experience, that is happening in you, which in reality is happening in the prakriti, then you will have material existence. You'll have material existence. That is what he was talking about. That the tree is born, is grew well, very big, and similarly this body also. It was born and it grew big and it has taken this form what it is today. How it has come, we don't know. We don't know how it has come. It's there now. It's standing there. And after a while, it will disappear. The tree will disappear. The body will also disappear. And the interesting thing is here that suppose there's a tree standing there. You cut a branch of that tree. You brought it out. And somebody who hasn't seen that tree, if I show that branch to him, he won't know that it is a branch of that tree. Would he? Suppose I cut a branch of one tree there, took it out, and somebody was coming on the street, I showed him this branch of the tree. He doesn't know that branch of the tree is from that tree. He has no idea, isn't it? So, similarly, if I tell him that this is a branch I cut from that tree, then he will know that. Is it not? Similarly, I've got in this tree, kidney, liver, intestines, heart, and so many other things, isn't it? And suppose a surgeon has done a surgery on me and he has taken out my kidney or liver or whatever that is and he has removed everything from inside. And then he says to me in the hospital, they have collected all the kidneys, whoever kidneys they have removed or liver they have removed, they brought it together and they have piled it up. And he's telling me, you take out your kidney from that. Will I be able to do that? So what does that mean? It's an interesting thing to think about that. That he has put all the kidneys together and he says you can take out yours from there. Or will you take it out? So it is a joke, but at the same time, see how serious it is. That loads of liver, kidney, heart is collected there. And he tells you, gentlemen, go there and get everybody get their own kidney and bring it back. And he says to you, what will you do? You can't do anything about it, isn't it? So he says here, what can you do? What can you do when he says to you like that? And if you go and ask the kidney, are you my kidney? Kidney won't answer, would he? The kidney won't say, he will be lying there. Like the branch in the tree, the kidney is like that. That is Krishna's example. Krishna is saying this. So, I'm not feeling any connection with that kidney or liver for that matter. So, practically, it is something completely separate from me. Its existence, in other words, is completely separating me. And I'm calling that me, that one. That kidney, that is what I'm presenting myself to the world, isn't it? You don't say kidney, but all these, similarly everything else, the hand, the leg, the head, heart, eyes, everything like that. I put it all together and I'm calling this is me. I'm presenting to the world. And it is like this, you are living in a house and if I say that's you, that house, in the similar, something similar to that. That is why there is not much difference. So, what we are doing here is, that we calling our shadow as us. Just like you calling your own shadow as us, there's not much difference than that. In this way, this connection with the body has to go from inside. We have this a lot of false connection inside with this body. And this is why it is spoken in various ways to make us understand that it's all ignorance, ajnanam inside. It's avidya inside us. That is telling us, I'm this body. And that doesn't go away very easily from inside. That is the problem. That's what Krishna is saying here. So we'll have a few minutes break and then we'll continue after that. Kedo darpanam arjanam vamahadavat nirvavanam Shayakaigava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pradivada poonam radaswadhanam Sarvapna Sumanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangeertanam Namnama Gari Bahuda Vijasarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nemila Smaranena Ragam Eda Drisham Navagrapa Bhagavan Mamami Udeva Midrishamiha Janinanam Ragaha Tanagamishami Chena Tarorami Sahishuna Amani Nama Nadena Kintariya Sadari
ചിന്തയാമേഷേണ
ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗത് സർവൻ ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേ ആശ്രിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഭിനശ്വ മാം ആദർശനാം മഹതാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിരലാധുലംബനോ മന്ത്രാണനാഥാ സ്നേഹാന്തരാഹം
So we mentioned there that, that this connection with the body is like that. This connection with the body is like this. That in reality there is no connection with the body. But it's no good at saying this. Just saying is not good enough. But through vicharam, through reflection and mananam, this has to become a reality in us. This has to become a reality in us. Because such a simple thing, so explicit, isn't it? That means that I have nothing to do actually with this body. Body, once it is taken out, it lies there, I feel no connection with it. I don't know whether it is even my body. Although I keep saying this is my body. But if you cut it off from me and throw it away, none of them will identify with me in any way. I won't feel any connection with that part anymore. Whether it's hands, legs, or any internal organs, or whatever it is, none of the body parts will feel any connection with me. With me, isn't it? But then, if you ask this question, if you do not do this reflection on these things properly for considerable period of time, if you don't break away from this identity, which you're feeling now strongly with this body, and you may ask the question, what am I going to gain from this? The answer is that if you want to get out of the misery, this is the answer. This thoughts, what you are intellectually accepting now, what you are experiencing now in your thoughts, it has to become your experience. It has to become your experience. With the body, that whatever that is at the moment, you are able to see the logic in the argument, can't you? That when you cut the body parts away and throw it away, that there is no connection with that part. As though that part will not answer, make any connection with you, you also feel no connection with the part. Because part is separate, it is. Similarly, everything in the body, if you take it away, you don't have any genuine connection with it. But if it has not, this you are understanding it, but at the same time it has to come into the level of experience level. And how do you do that? How do you do that? Change this experience, because not by thinking about non-self. Non-self means that not by thinking about the parts, that this is not mine, this is not mine, this is not my body, this is not my body. That is not how you do that. Instead, to remain as what you are, and that may come out of it. That's the way. Suppose by saying that, okay, it's good enough, I'm saying I'm not this body. And then I'm saying I'm not this leg, I'm not this hand, I'm not this head. That is not how you get out of the body. The way to get out of the body is to be what actually you are and come out from the body in that way. That means that
that not by discarding anatma, anatma means what you are not, but rather by thinking what you are, atma, atma. Anatma doesn't exist in reality. Pravadhanubhuti Acharya mentions this. Atma, one who is discriminating between atma and anatma, he is not a jnani. Jnani does not discriminate atma and atma in that way. What he does is, as far as jnani is concerned, anatma doesn't exist. Only atma exists. Atman, atmanatma vivechanadi mamato vidvat krita rochate. Anatma nasti. Yad asti gochara vabuko va vivektum kshami. Kova vivektum kshami. Mithyavada vichara chindana maho kurvandi drishtalmagam. Brandha eva na paragaha. Dradati ya tushnin shilavastidaha. In the Pravadhanubhuti was a few verses what Acharya Swamiji wrote just before he left this world. And there he is saying, Pravadhanubhuti. Pravadhanubhuti means highest level of realization. He is saying this. In the highest level. In the Pravadham. Pravadham means on a very top level. Anubhuti, experience. Top level realizations, we can say, if you translate that word, Pravadhanubhuti. So in that Pravadhanubhuti, one of the verses is like this. He says, Almanalpa vivechanadi mamato vidvat krita rochate. This Almanalpa vivechanam is for vidwan, for the scholars. They have to do that. This is body, this is self, this is body, this is self. They have to differentiate it like that. But Analpa nasti, he says, Analpa doesn't exist. What exists is only Atma. Yadasti gochara vapu kova vivektum kshami. That to take that and to understand that, that the existence is Atma. Existence is me, isn't it? I am existence. Really, what are we? Existence. Isn't it? We exist, is it not? We exist. That is what awareness is. That is what our identity is. So that existence, if you lose, you have lost everything. So in real body, if you lose, it's not a big thing because only body has gone. But if you lose your existence, you have lost everything. So strictly speaking, Krishna is saying, and existence you can't lose. You're always existing. Existence always there. Analpa nasti adasti gochara vabhu kova vivektum kshami. That this existence is such an important thing. Nityava adam. Vijara chindana maho kurvandi drishtal madam brandha evapa evana parega dradadhiya stushnim shila avastidaha. That means that jnani, what happens to him? He does not want to waste his energy in useless arguments. Nityavada vijara chindanam aho kurvandi drishtal madam. Because for him, what he is experiencing is more important than what he is seeing with his eyes. What he is seeing with his eyes is his body, mind, intelligence and the prakriti. But what he is experiencing is his awareness, his existence. Brandha evana paraga dradadhiya. And his intelligence is fixed on that, on his existence. Rather than only what he is seeing. Tushnim shila avastidaha. That, and finally he exists as like a, very strongly like a shila. Shila means a stone. So firmly he is fixed on his that avastha, chila avastidaha. In that state he is firmly established, in other words. That is what he is saying here. So, one who has realized the truth, he will be like a rock. He will be like a rock. Analpa nasti. If you say there is no analpa, you can ask the question, oh, body is there, isn't it? He says, no, body is not there because within that body, who is looking through the body? Who is looking through the body? He is the one who is really there. And therefore, shariram, material body, is not a, is not looking. Body is not looking. Actually, it is drishyam. Body is a drishyam. The one who is looking is inside. Atma. Atma is looking through the body, isn't it? He is seeing the body. Atma is seeing the body. And Atma is saying, I am saying, I am this body. That's how I identify with this body. But, if you look through the, if you look into the body, although it looks like a body, like a form, in some form, it is human body or animal body, whatever it is. But strictly speaking, if you look at that body, any body, what is in that body? What actually there it is Chaitanyam, isn't it? Only the living force is in that body. Otherwise, who cares about this body? If that Chaitanyam leaves this body, it has no value, isn't it? So when you look at a body, you got to see the body as the Chaitanyam in the body rather than the elements and the mind and the intelligence and the ego. So, so in that way, if you look at everything in this, there is only living force. Chaitanyam only exists. That is why Krishna is saying in those two verses, 40, 50 and 51, he is saying there that the taror bija vibhaga abhyam ye vidwan jamya janma samyamoh taror vilakshano drashta evam drashta tano prathak prakrudeva evam atmanam avivichya bhuda puman tatvena sparsha sammuha samsaram vivadyate. So bija vibhaga abhyam taro janma samyamoh vidwan yasa drashta taroho vilakshana bhavati evam tano drashta tano vilakshana bhavati. So when the tree is growing, and from the seed the tree was born, and when the tree has given its fruits, finally it disappears, the tree disappears. But the person who is seeing all these things is different from the tree, is different from the tree. Similarly, that these changes that is happening in the body, also he is conscious of that it is happening. That the change is happening in the body, body is changing, it's going through all these things. And that person is different from the body. That person is different from the body. Prakrutireva atmanam avivichyabhuta puman tattvena sparsha samudam samsaram prativadyate. He says that ignorant person, without knowing this, that he gets caught up in the body. And he is not able to separate it out from the body and the self. And therefore, he gets caught up in the material life. In the material life, that is how Krishna mentions in that, in those two verses there. And finally, you can see here that ignorant person, he, what he does is, he mixes everything together. Which all of them, what all, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. He mixes them all together. And samsaram pradipadyate. That means, all his sense enjoyment comes through the body in different ways. Through the sound, through the touch, smell, taste and the form. That's how these different sense enjoyments comes in, isn't it? And he, because he has no knowledge that they are all happening in the body, not knowing about that, he mixes them all together and he falls into material existence. So, just like you see many things in the dream state, similarly, he sees in the waking state also. And he goes from one death to another death, happens to him. And in the vacant state, he says, in the vacant state, egameva adhidiyam. That means, all you can do, Krishna is saying, that in the vacant state, you can when fixed upon the truth. Because that's where you have all the faculties for activating this knowledge inside. The faculties are only in the vacant state. So, this is what is spoken in the Brihadaranya Upanishad. You will see in amazing way in the Brihadaranyam it is spoken. There he says here, there he says, if you meditate on a particular form, say Krishna's form, or Shiva's form, or Vishnu form, or Narasimhamurti's form, whichever form, if you continuously meditate on that in the vacant state, you will get that form in your dream state. If you can meditate on any form or in the vacant state continuously or intensely for some time, then in the dream state you will have the vision of that form. Similarly, in the vacant state, if you always identify with the Atma and live in that state, and after hearing about the Tattvam what Krishna has spoken, and you have conducted the mananam of that properly, and always accepting that outside this Atma nothing else exists. That is also important. And you perceived that through all the way through. And in the vacant state, if you have performed mananam and nididhyasanam, and this understanding sarvatma bhavam, it is called. Sarvatma bhavam means connection with all other living entities through the soul. Through the soul. And that if it is filled up inside, then in dream state also it will come. That experience will come in the dream state. In other words, while dreaming also, in the same way the dreams will happen. If it is practiced in the vacant state properly. Almeva idam sarvam. That is that experience. That experience in the dream state, and it will continuously keep invading your dream state. That anubhavam experience will invade the dream state. And that is what is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna it is called. Pratyabhijna. And we have to be prepared for all these things. You have to prepare for all these things. You have to... we are speaking, you are hearing, and if you start thinking, by chanting my rounds I will get all these things, it's not going to happen. That may be a very long journey going to go through. That, and you are thinking that my sadhana will bring all what I need. If you start thinking like that, you will not get it. But in a logical way, in a logical way, you have to accept these things, what Krishna has spoken, with logic and reasoning, and you have to try to bring it that into your own realizations. Realizations. That means mananam. Mananam has to happen. You have to know where to keep karma at the right place. You have to keep the karma in its right place. You have to keep your upasana or sadhana also in its right place. You have to know where to keep all these things. And you have to keep your knowledge also in its right place. That means, that is why when you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see it is not one-sided. Bhagavatam is not one-sided. That you will see here, that everything is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is jnanam there is yogam there is bhakti there is karmam there. So many things are covered in the Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? Bhagavatam talks about various things. Various things. It's not all about bhakti. It is also jnanam mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Similarly about karma also mentioned. Various things are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like you are making some preparations and you got your rice and jaggery and milk and ghee and so honey and cashew nuts and everything to prepare something for yourself. And when you have mixed all these things together and finally you have prepared the what you wanted to prepare, and when you take it, you feel the taste of everything in that, isn't it? Similarly, that is why in the earlier, when Uddhava said to Krishna, Nayanaibunehi, remember that word? Nayanaibunehi, you are the expert in presenting things, he said to Krishna. Uddhava said to Krishna, Nayanaibunehi. Nayanaibunehi means this, that how to bring spiritual life, mixing various things together. Krishna has done that in the Bhagavad Gita also. There in Bhagavad Gita you will see there is Sankhyam, there is Karma Mimamsa, Yajnam and Yagam and all is Karma Mimamsa. Sankhyam is the second chapter part of it. Then there is Yogam, Patanjali Sashtanga Yogam, Vedavyasa Maharshi is Vedantam. Who mixed it expertly? Krishna mixed it expertly. Took lot of things from Upanishads, is it not? Krishna took many things from Upanishads. He brought it in. Then he took from the Puranams and personalities like Janaka and many others, their history experiences brought in. So this expert mixing together of various aspects of spiritual life and presenting it, that's what Krishna has done in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Vedavyasa in the Bhagavatam also has done that. And this expertise, what Krishna has shown, that is why Uddhava is saying here, Nayanaibunehi. Nayanaibunehi, expert in all these things. So, when everything comes together, pull it together, similarly this knowledge or jnanam and similarly bhakti and also the rasas in the Bhagavatam and madhurya tirthabhu, in other words, that you will see here that the presence of all these various things in the Bhagavatam, like jnanam, like bhakti, like the vairagyam, all these things the sweetness of all that is that that Krishna is saying here that that has to become the fulfillment in life, in the sense that he says here that when this enters into life of the sweetness of the Bhagavadam, that you will get what is known as the realizations will come from that. For example, in the Bhagavadam, you hear, you are studying Bhagavadam now seriously. If you study Bhagavadam, you will see several things there. Krishna's relationship with the Guru, that sweet dealings with the gopis and Krishna, Krishna's sweet dealings with Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj, the childhood pastimes, then the grown-up pastimes with the gopis, with the, as in the Vrindavana pastimes, then Krishna's sweet pastimes with the Krishna's wives, Rukmini Devi, Satyabhama and Jambavati, Satya and everybody else like that. In every, with everyone, Krishna has different relationships with all of them, isn't it? Then Krishna's relationship with the devotees like Uddhava, Akrura, and many others like that, Bhishma, Kunti Devi, those relationships. So everything is relationship at the end, isn't it? And you, what do you see in Bhagavadam? All these different relationships Krishna has with the different devotees in different ways, that is. And they're all very interesting and helping us to understand spiritual life, is it not? That's what it does. What it does is actually that that this experience of this is actually brings that sweetness to life. Sweetness to life, and it brings some fulfillment in life. And Krishna is saying, Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavadi. Upanishads also says the same thing. That once you understand Krishna in this way, he is Brahmavid and he becomes Brahman later. Shruti says in a little different way. Shruti means Vedam. Vedam. Shruti says, Shrutam or Vaidikam, you can say. What he says is, one who has known Brahman, he becomes Brahman. One who knows Brahman, he becomes Brahman. Sometimes people say, oh, what happens if I become Brahman? That means I become useless, is it? Is that what it is? Brahman, I become. No, Mahan Bhavadi. It says he becomes a great personality. Prajaya Pashupur Brahmavad Jadena Mahan Kirtya. And with all its opulences, he will be like that. So, what is that relationship and self-realization of the knowledge? Ajay Swamiji mentions here that he will, in that state, what will happen is, he will be happiness inside and he will be peaceful inside. That is the nature of that person. That is the nature of the person. So, these verses, what Krishna has spoken here in this chapter, while talking about this same experience of all these things, he said that, he mentions that prarabdham won't let you go. Prarabdham will always be there in life. Till you leave this body, that prarabdham will be there. Just because you have realized yourself, that doesn't, prarabdham has finished. Prarabdham will still be there. You can look at all the spiritual personalities, including Srila Prabhupada. You will see till the last minute, prarabdham hasn't left. It came. And prarabdham will come into the upadhi. Means body, mind, intelligence. And prarabdham will come in vyavaharam also. Isn't it? Prarabdham will come in vyavaharam also. Prarabdham, when it comes in vyavaharam, it will create good name, bad name. That's all prarabdham it is. Good name, bad name, recognition, somewhere disappointment. If you look into vyavaharam, Prabhupada's vyavaharam also, if you look at various ways, you will see all of them in all that, prarabdham's effect will also be there. And same thing with the body also. Till the last minute, Prabhupada left the body, body was giving trouble, wasn't it, in one way or the other. And doctors had to come, treatment was there, medicines were taken, everything was taken. So, prarabdham is up to the last second. Till you leave this body, it is there. It's there. You won't be able to get out of it. That is impossible. And that Bhagavatam is very categorical about it. It's very categorical about that. That doesn't go. That is what he is saying here also. Krishna is saying to Dhruva also the same thing. But so, prarabdhamham ujjyadam adhapara brahmalpanasthiyadam. While eating this prarabdham, you have to get fixed in the Brahma. Brahma realization has to happen. While eating this prarabdham, actually that's what we are all doing. We are eating our prarabdham. And while eating this prarabdham, you have to get fixed in the Brahma. You have to get fixed in this Brahma. So prarabdhaya samarpidam so vapuhu. Prarabdhaya samarpidam so vapuhu. Body and the mind, you have handed over to prarabdham. You have to hand it over to prarabdham, the body and the mind. And body will stay there. And you have to remember this very carefully. You will only experience in this life what you are meant to experience through prarabdham. Nothing else will come. That is also important to know. Whatever you are experiencing in this life, if you are meant to experience that through your prarabdham, and only that you will get it. You won't get anything more than that. Either way, good or bad. Whatever we can call it as good or whatever we call it as bad, whichever way you like to call it. So, what it means is that only prarabdham will be there, not agamam, not sanchidam. The other two things, other two karma, agami and sanchidam, isn't it? So sometimes people say like this, that after hearing all the Vedardham, they say like this, that what's the harm? They are always in distress. And then they are saying, it's all my prarabdham, what can I do? When they distress, they are saying like that. Yes, it is that prarabdham is there. Prarabdham, experiencing prarabdham means, actually what it means is, that when the prarabdham is being experienced by somebody, at that time, still they will not step out of dharma. They will not step out of dharma. Do you understand what I'm saying? That irrespective of what happens in prarabdham, you will still remain within dharma. You have to know dharmam first. What is the right thing to do in life? That means under any circumstances, they will not move out of dharmam even when prarabdham is attacking them. That is their state. That's their state. So here what it means is that in that destiny also, when prarabdham is giving them all problems, they will still be very much within the realm of dharma. Within the realm of dharma. Not otherwise. Not that, oh, prarabdham it is, what can I do? And they'll start acting in their own independently doing things. And that is the difference in the prarabdham of a ordinary person and in the prarabdham of a person who is in the spiritual path. Who is in the spiritual path. So Brahmavid. That he is a Brahmavid, because he is fixed up like that. So, his prarabdham will go according to that destiny, what it is meant to happen. And that is Krishna's department. You can't get involved in that. That is Krishna's department, that is. And what it is there, what's the change that has happened is that when it is happening, your false ego is not interfering in that. Yeah? Your false ego is not interfering in that destiny, that fate, what is happening. Prarabdham iha bujyadam adhapara brahmalpanam dhiyadam. Brahmalpanas dhiyadam. That is what that state is. Prarabdham iha bujyadam. Here you are accepting your prarabdham, what is coming, and you are taking it without any protest. Without any protest. Adhapara brahmalpanas dhiyadam. At the same time, the knowledge of the self inside, you are staying in that state. You are staying in the state of the knowledge of the self. What Krishna is saying here is that this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, and the vyavaharam and all this world, that is all a part of the prarabdham. Atma cannot be touched by prarabdham. Atma is independent. Knowledge of the self should not get mixed up with the world. We have to remain in that knowledge and execute the prarabdha and go through the prarabdha in this world. That is the message. And therefore, he will be in a peaceful state all the time. That is the another goal. And if this goal is fallen inside, and what will happen? If only those who have come to that state, who have come to that understanding very rigidly inside, only then they can get involved in Ekadasha Skandha, seriously. That is how they do that. You may not be self-realized, completely freed from the body, but you have come to understand things in the right way. In the right way. You got it right. You got the proper picture of the situation. Because if this goal has come inside, then inside that dreaming faculty, what we have, we dream about things, isn't it? So, because that is what we have dreamt, many things in life, and we have become like this, what we are today. Because of the dreams in the previous days. In the childhood, you dreamt to want to become something and you became that. Later you went to university, studied, got the degrees, and you became that. Engineer or doctor or lawyer or whatever that is. That's because of the dream in your youth you had. You translated that into your reality. Similarly, so it is because of that dream it has happened. Someone must become a doctor or an engineer or a musician or the different things they desire. So when any sankalpam has become very powerful, it will become like that. Is it not? You will become like that. Similarly, this sankalpam Krishna is talking about in this Bhagavadam, in Ekadasha Skandham, if it has taken a powerful root inside, that will become your dream later. Is it not? So, in the same way, just like the example is this, that like an engineer or a doctor, you decided at your, say, about when you were 14, 15, after your GCC, you started making up your mind, I want to become like this, or, and this is the lifestyle I want to have. So some decision is made inside, some dream has happened inside. On that dream, you have developed your future life based on that. You have decided to become something, some professional work, you decide to be like that. Why? Due to that dream that started at that age. It has developed, matured over a period of 8 or 10 years. It has happened like that. Similarly, Ekadasha Skandham, if you study and go through it again and again and again, that will become strong inside. And it will develop into a powerful sankalpam inside. All this what Krishna has spoken there. It will develop into a sankalpam. That I want to be like this. I want to be like what Krishna is saying. I want to understand that and I want to become like that. That sankalpam has to build up inside. That is what Krishna is saying. And when you see realized souls and when you hear this message of Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandham, it will slowly start building up an image of liberation inside. We'll start slowly seeing what liberation means. Ekadasha Skandham, another name of that is Mukti Skandham. That is how it is called by the Bhagavata scholars. Ekadasha Skandham is called Mukti Skandham. Or Mukti Skandham means liberation Skandham. So, as much as this builds up inside, it develops a kind of sankalpam inside, and that sankalpam, when it becomes very strong inside, after that, when that sankalpam has become strong, whenever you see any realized souls, or when you hear this message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it will also start building up a dream of that liberated state within us. We are not seeing that. Within us, it starts developing. Because Antaryami is inside, that is his dream. Inside this, it is not our dream. It's Antaryami's dream it is. Antaryami inside us is dreaming that because that is his state, isn't it? So and that swapnam, that dream becomes a reality at one day. Reality at one day. So that is why in spiritual life they say, suppose you have a intense desire for spiritual life and that desire has become so strengthened inside that while sleeping and while working, while eating, while bathing, if it is continuously as a flow, if it is inside, Krishna says here that dream becomes so powerful that that dream alone will create a spiritual master. Dream alone will create a spiritual master. In other words, how is that? That dream inside will force that Antaryami to send someone to you in a powerful way. That, because that is how powerful the Antaryami is. Antaryami needs that pressure on Antaryami from inside. That, because this Sankalpam, that is what it does. Every Sankalpam, if it is Antaryami approves that, that is when it happens. Like so many other things in life, isn't it? That you have developed some Sankalpam. And if that Sankalpam becomes very strong, Antaryami sanctions from inside. And he says, you can have that, and you got it. Whether all these professions are mentioned about is also like that. Due to that Sankalpam inside, it becomes a reality later. It becomes a reality later. Equally, even a spiritual master. Spiritual master also. That first of all, the desire for spiritual life has to be there. And then all this what Krishna has spoken should get in. And it should agitate inside that knowledge. And it make you feel the necessity to have this. All this knowledge and realization. When all this knowledge gets inside and becomes your Sankalpam. Your Sankalpam. When it becomes your Sankalpam. And when that Sankalpa Shakti, the power of that Sankalpam becomes very intense inside. And you start dreaming about, I need someone to give me this properly to me. All that desires built up inside. Then Antaryami inside comes out in the form of a guru and presenting to you at that point. At that point, it will present to him. So, generally we say spiritual master is born at some place, in some location and all that thing. But it is not the real thing. In actual practice, it happens in a different way. Because other thing is done more on a, more officially. What is that? Officially you will say that I approach somebody, I took initiation from him, and he is my spiritual master. There are so many official relationships like that. Is it not? But in reality, in spiritual life, is when all these Bhagavata principles has gone in, and when it has worked inside very powerfully, and it has affected you so strongly that you felt the desire for spiritual life and self-realization strongly, Antaryami inside, from inside, takes responsibility and starts guiding you through. He comes out in the form of a guide outside, a spiritual master, and from inside, he is strengthening your resolve from inside. He is strengthening your resolve from inside, and then that will happen. Self-realization will happen in a person. Everything is this Sankalpa Shakti, the power of that Sankalpa. When they talk about Agastya Maharshi, there is a story about Agastya like this. Agastya wanted to marry. Nobody will marry Agastya. Agastya is only this height, 2-3 feet high, and not very particularly good looking. But in his Sankalpam, he created Lobhamudra. Lobhamudra is the girl whom Agastya married later. Some beautiful form in his imagination he created. And this Lobhamudra was born as the daughter of a great king, powerful king, made her to take this Lobhamudra. Agastya met her or came to know about her or saw her somewhere, and Agastya wanted to marry her. Agastya made this Lobhamudra through his power of Sankalpam. Rishis are very powerful in their Sankalpam, weren't they? So, he made her to take birth of a famous king and married her, finally. So, everything is a creation of the Manomandalam. Manomandalam in the mental level, if it begins and becomes a Sankalpam, it becomes. So, similarly, Mumukshu, one who is desiring liberation from material existence, from material life once for all, that it is his force inside, that Mumukshatvam, that force inside for liberation, that creates a spiritual master. That creates the genuine spiritual master with whom you will have a genuine relationship, with whom you will have that genuine spiritual understanding as well. So, and that guru will give you the Brahmopadesham, like Shukadeva Goswami gave to Parikshit. And right in front of the guru, he will become realized, the self. Realization will happen to him at that time. And finally, in the presence of that spiritual master, the liberation has to happen to him. not only liberation, he will get liberated and he will see that this Jagat world, Ishwara, Jiva, Jagat, Ishwara, those three different entities will all disappear at that point, and he will remain in this spiritual state. He will remain in that spiritual state, and he will ultimately swallow himself, which means the ego is also will disappear from him. And there was a famous personality, Arunagirinatha. He was a very sinful person, very, very sinful. He had a very sinful life in his past. In Trivannamalai temple, there's a huge tower on the entrance tower. I think it's called Eastern Tower. Finally, he decided to give up his body. He went into the topmost floor of that tower and said to, he worshipped Subramanya. Subramanya's devotee he was. He says to Subramanyam, it's because of that Subramanya deity has come to that temple. If you go there, you will see well entrance on the left hand side straight away. So there he says, while he jumped from the top, he decided to give up himself, die, commit suicide in that way, to jump from the top of the tower. So while jumping, he said, call his deity, Subramanya Swami, and says to him that if you want to protect me, he said. I cannot protect myself. So surrendered he was, Subramanya has to protect him. He protected him at the end. And at that time, he says here, later on, he became a great sage after that. And what he says there is that, I swallowed myself, he said. In other words, my ego completely disappeared after that. And that is his experience, he's saying that he wrote a lot of famous songs afterwards about his life, he says there. And he became a great sage in that temple long ago, Maharshi's time. So, in other words, what happened is birth, death, old age, disease, all other things disappears, and all other changes that's happening, the body stops. And Purna Brahmatmana Sthiyade is completely situated on the platform of Brahma. And that state is called liberation. Liberation. That is called liberation. Now, what is bondage means? Bondage means that if you get swallowed by the world, if you keep on going with the world to peace, to appease the world, and if you get carried away by the waves of this material life, that is bondage. Going along with the world, carried away by the world, carried away by the society, carried away by the various things in this world, and you're going along with that, that is, it is moving. World is always moving, isn't it? And that is called bondage. Be situated in the self, in the self-realization, knowing who you are and being situated in that is liberation. Getting carried away by the always on the move, or being by the world, forced by the forces of the world, in other words, material nature, that is called bondage. It's called bondage. So, we have 20-25 minutes. We'll have another kirtan mere, and then we'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow also. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.